This is CliffCentral.com.
When I'm away, I will remember how you kissed me under the lamppost back on 6th Street, hearing you whisper through the phone. For me to come home.
Little Ed Sheeran and Photograph for you. Monday morning, 12 after 7.
Okay. You know, I was wondering who sings this song.
That's cute.
My brother Malloy.
That's very cute. So apparently Larry Flint and Hustler Magazine are announcing a cash offer of up to $10 million.
For what?
They want information leading to the impeachment and removal from office of Donald J. Trump.
Wow.
Oh.
If you have dirt that could impeach Trump, Larry Flint will pay you $10 million.
Who's Larry Flint?
The founder of Hustler magazine.
Oh. Mm.
Just said it like 10 seconds ago.
No, he just said Larry Flint and Hustler magazine. I had no fucking clue.
So there's a really great movie where Woody Harrelson's in it. It's The People versus Larry Flint. It's a whole movie about this guy, his empire, his history in the pornographic industry.
Yes.
Is he Hugh Hefner-esque?
Well, he's like, if Hugh Hefner was a little bit seedier, bit skankier. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
But now, so they're offering $10 million US dollars to this.
Yeah.
Oh, guys.
Yeah, 10 mil if you can give them info that'll make Trump, would put Trump in a situation where he has to either be impeached or removed from office.
Hmm.
How's that?
Interesting.
Who knows something? Come on, everybody. Mavs, has he ever hit on you?
Well, I just saw a thing now on Twitter. Someone's found this video of him addressing this. There was some like real estate forum or something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where Donald was there as the Donald. Mm-hmm. And you know, you get these, like if you're a musician, if you're a TV star, whatever it is, there will be young impressionable girls who just want a piece of the action. And well, Donald is the action at this place.
This girl wanted a job on one of his jets. That was the background of it. She wanted to work for him on one of his jets. So here's Trump. Listen to this. He's squeezing and kissing her while talking about offering a job.
I have a question. My question is,
you can hardly hear it. The question is, how many jets do you have and how do I apply? And then Trump calls her up onto stage. I think she's hired, I don't know. The sound is not great, so I'm just gonna try and translate. So he pulls her up close.
I have a case. It's very interesting. A beautiful girl who was 17 or 18 applied to be a waitress. She's so beautiful, she's like a world-class beauty, like the young lady who just asked the question about the actress. She's so beautiful. And my people came, she said, well, there's a drunk. She has no experience. So I didn't get her right away because she was so beautiful. I said, let me ask you, do you have any experience? And she goes, no, sir. I said, when can you start?
I know. Okay. All right. Now, Donald Trump's being a like alpha male asshole here, but I don't think that was particularly egregious. I was watching, so he pulls her up next to him at the podium. She is young and beautiful, and he's creepy and old. But I don't think that's harassment.
No, Gareth, it's not, but it's dirt.
You reckon?
This is what Larry and the rest of anything can be seen as dirt. This is dirt.
Ben, but he back did to it the, out in public.
Back to the drawing board for you, Ben. That's not going to get you $10 million.
Well, he tried.
Well,
might get you 10,000.
But this is what the press, everything jump on is stuff like this.
Yeah.
No.
Donald, of course they will.
No. Not good enough, Ben. No money for you.
You know, no one is giving these people a chance. I'm not saying, you know, Trump is the greatest, but really I thought by now in his presidency, these attacks, impeachment talk would have died down. But really,
you know what, Sia? Not good enough. Ben and Sia go back to the drawing board.
Right. I think, what's her name? Ivana. Ivana would have something.
The ex-wife?
The first wife, yeah. And do you know what? She's now in the news because she's just released a new book called Raising Trump. About how she was an amazing mother to the three kids and how her marriage was. And she and Melania are having a bit of a war of words.
Oh.
Because Ivana says she's technically the first lady.
Oh,
oh
boy. No.
Oh boy. All right.
Like what it has been.
Let's get to Mavs with the real news.
All right. So Friday in Bloemfontein was where it all went down when the Supreme Court of Appeal ruled, or rather ordered, that the 783 corruption charges against the president be reinstated.
That's where the difference comes.
The High Court in Pretoria had ruled earlier this year that the 2009 decision to withdraw the 783 charges was irrational. Former prosecution's boss, Mokotedi Mhle, withdrew the criminal charges against the president in 2009, and this is after he considered representations from the president, which included the so-called spy tapes.
I don't think I would imagine.
Zuma and the NPA have also been ordered to pay the costs of the failed application. So now the eyes have turned to good old Sean Abrams, because the ball is now in his court. His legal team this week are going to consider the fresh representations from the president on why he should not be prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
Zuma had asked Abrams not to summons him to court until his lawyers have studied the judgment and have had the opportunity to make submissions as to why he should not be prosecuted. So Abrams said, okay, he is going to consider that request, and then we are likely to find out later this week where Sean Abrams stands. I see Justice Malala has wasted no time writing a fresh new article for businesslive.co.za. You can check it out. The heading reads, Zuma's captured state will not charge Zuma. Simple as that. That's what Justice says. But things did get a little bit interesting when Shabir Sheikh was brought back into the mix. The convicted fraudster is allegedly gearing up to turn state witness. If longtime ally President Jacob Zuma stands trial for corruption, which Justice says he will not.
Well, it'll be like 10 years of appeals before it gets to it, right?
Well, he says that Sean Abrams is unlikely to do that.
The right thing. He's not going to do the right thing. Well, then fine. Then we won't pay our TV licenses.
Yeah, take that, Sean Abrams.
Yeah.
I'm not paying my TV license.
Yeah. Hit you right where it hurts.
Country Judy.
TV licenses, guys. What about tax? Didn't we say that?
We'd stop paying tax. That's a good idea, Mubs.
It's not 250. What government has done, I think I don't have the figure, it could be between 700 or 800. I mean 780 million rand.
800 and
seven, how many charges?
700 and,
listen properly, 769,820.
It's Pelel.
And Sevent.
That's the leader of this country.
Number one.
You got to go and check out that picture of him in that funny outfit, that get up in Nigeria.
Oh, man.
I think they're trolling him. I think Ben might have a point. They're trolling the president. He doesn't realize they're taking the piss out of him.
You probably find that's like the number one selling bachelor outfit for bachelor parties this weekend.
Right.
And they've just dressed him up in that and everyone's having a laugh.
Right. Can't take the guy seriously. Okay. What else? I mean, does this mean that ultimately, look, Justice says they're not going to reinstate the charges. But does it mean that there's a chance they could? There's got to be something. The courts just said that they should never have dropped those charges. Now, surely something happens?
Yeah, but if it's in Sean's court, when has Sean Abrams ever done something? I'm asking a valid question.
There's no one who has an answer.
Here's a valid answer, which we don't have.
We don't know.
So
I don't know what he's done. Nothing. All right. On to the next one.
On to the next one, indeed. And, excuse me, this one involves Minister Lynn Brown.
Ooh, I heard about this.
Oh, boy.
Can I taste your juice?
No, you cannot. It all began when Sunday papers reported that the minister's romantic partner, Ingrid Tufvesson.
What?
I don't know if I'm saying it correctly or not.
Tufvesson.
T-U-F-V-E-S-S-O-N.
I'll go with how you pronounce
it. All right. So Ingrid, apparently, who owns eSmart Solutions, received two contracts from the minister this year worth 1.2 million rand. And questions are now being asked about exactly how those contracts were awarded and whether or not things were a little bit shady or if everything is above board. Brown's director general and her former PA have also been linked into the controversial Gupta family. The minister has repeatedly stated that she has no links to the Guptas, but leaked emails have identified three people who are close to her that do have ties to the family.
These Guptas are paying a lot of people, huh?
1.2 million rand earlier this year.
How do they keep track of all of these people?
I'll tell you something. You have to have, they must have a whole office somewhere that's just dealing with like payments. That they just have to make deposits into these ANC members' bank accounts. And it's not just them, it's the families as well. You got to pay the PA, then you got to pay the consultant, then you got to pay the lover.
The lover.
I didn't know Lynn Brown was a lesbian.
Yeah.
She's a lesbian.
So,
For some people, that's the bigger story here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It has emerged that Ingrid scored 1.2 million rand contracts to supply oil to Eskom. Hmm. And, the allegations here are that it was a little bit shady and suspicious.
Hmm. Ingrid and
Lynn.
At least I know who to invite to the next dinner party.
What do you mean?
Ingrid and Lynn. Yeah, Lynn's. She's an interesting woman, that Lynn Brown. She likes to get jobs for her friends.
Yeah.
No, I'm not corrupt. Because remember, she was saying, we've got to root out corruption. Meanwhile, there's a whole lot of nepotism going on here.
Back at the ranch.
Right.
Is it nepotism if it's just a lover?
No, nepotism is if it's family.
Yeah.
But you could count the family, with lover, it's family.
There's got to be a sexier word than that. Even
sure
if we invent it.
Then lover.
No, but like nepotism, okay? That's a massive thing in political handouts. But what if it's like this new like trend of giving it to lovers?
What if there's a word for giving it to your lesbian lover?
Oh, here we go.
So if you have a spouse, is that nepotism? If you are married to the person.
Yes, yeah, because that's family.
So because Lynn Brown and Ingrid are not married.
What if it's sexism? We need to come up with a word.
I'm sure there is. Like, what is it called if I give my friend something?
A pump with benefits.
Well, no. But nepotism is just for family. There has to be a word for it.
Sexitism is our word currently, unless we get a better one.
Sexitism.
Lynn Brown is guilty of sexitism.
Sexitism. All right, I like that. Yeah. Nice one, Ben. There we go. We've added to the vocabulary, everybody.
You are doing wonders for the English language.
Aren't I helping? Ben came up with that one, though. Let's give him credit. Mm. All right. What else?
Uber have filed a legal appeal that will allow them to keep operating in London while the courts sort out their mess. It all has to do with whether its license should be renewed. The capital's transit authority said last month that it would not renew Uber's license because of its approach to reporting serious crimes, along with other concerns. Uber confirmed that they did file this appeal with the Westminster Magistrates Court, which means that they are permitted to operate while the appeal works its way through the courts. The first hearing on the issue is expected on December the 11th.
So a lot of people pitching in here with their own thoughts. Giving tenders to lovers is called fuckery.
See, the thing is, that's used elsewhere as well. We need something very unique.
And someone else saying, those contracts at Eskom were awarded in returns for lots of cunnilingus.
I always thought that was that's the least
cunnilingus. It's a bit, it's messy.
I don't want to sound biased, but like fellatio sounds sexy. Cunnilingus.
Fellatio like almost STD. Sounds like a summer popsicle in comparison to cunnilingus.
It sounds Italian.
Like a flavor.
I mean, you try to say the word cunnilingus when someone's trying to serve you oysters. It's going to be a mess.
Someone says here, I don't have any evidence against Trump, but rather Pence. During the run-up to the presidential campaign, I started receiving a number of emails to my Gmail account addressed to someone with the exact same name as me. Turns out she's the PA to Pence and was receiving a number of emails from some quite senior Republicans, some of them former staff to GOP presidents or VPs. Eventually, I found out what her actual Gmail account was and let her know. She sent me a Starbucks voucher and asked me to delete the emails. I still have them, though. Ironic, given how much stick Hillary was giving for using personal email accounts. Send those to me. I want to see those. Carl says it should be called poontangism. Sorry, poontanganism. Poontanganism, my submission. When are the results announced, Carl? Well, we'll think about it. Here's a message from Cindy. Says, morning, guys. I hope this message finds you well. At the airport the other day, while waiting for a delayed flight, a lady behind me started playing videos on her phone. Really, really loud. So I lost it. I told her to look around. Everyone was working, and she was annoying people. That they were not interested in her rubbish, and when we woke up, our plan was not to listen to her and her nonsense. I gave her a speech about common decency that she should have been taught in her early days. Ooh. Everyone just stared at their laptops with grins on their faces. Did I do right?
You were the hero that day, Cindy, for everyone. You were.
You see, I wish I had your courage to do that. I'd be the last person to, because I just find it awkward. But yeah, you did right.
Graham says that the word is blesmatism. Sorry, blespatism.
Blespatism.
Oh, this is better.
Yeah, blespatism, okay. Why are people obsessed with Donald? It seems abnormal. And then he also says, what about Blessy Lizzie?
See, that's more of a catchy kind of who she is, not what she's doing.
Yeah, she's a Blessy Lizzie.
But a Blessy Lizzie, it's...
Yeah.
Who's Lynn Brown? Oh, she's a Blessy Lizzie. Oh, that Lynn. Yeah, gotcha.
Oh, that Lynn.
All right.
We must actually get Julius to pick this up in Parliament. Point Blessy of order, Lizzie. That Blessy Lizzie is...
And you know he would. If there was one person to do that, it would be him.
All right, back to you, Mubs.
Well, I have
a
bit of a sad story, really. But an independent body has been appointed, did you hear about this, to investigate allegations that more than 80 primary school students have been sexually molested by a staff member at a Soweto school. God.
How many?
80. What? And the number is going up as we speak, according to different reports, including like Banyaza Lesufi, who tweeted that sadly the number of learners who were allegedly sexually assaulted by the patroller guard at a primary school in Soweto has increased to 83. I do not know how such even happens. But senior staff at the school have also been removed in light of the allegations. So this all came to light last week, Thursday, when it was...
80 kids?
Yeah. Initially, the report said that only 54 pupils were sexually assaulted by the school security guard. But since then, we've been able to now state that it's now 83. So Banyaza, Gauteng Education MEC Banyaza Lesufi says that the department is disgusted, weakened by the information immediately after the report came out. We unleashed our social services to conduct further investigations. And upon the investigation, they gave us the report that the number has increased to 83. He says that they are left without words. How does this even happen?
Well, creeps, right? Jeez. Just terrible, terrible people, creeps. And it seems that there are a lot of them.
And at a primary school, Nopal.
80 kids? It's insane.
And I'm not trying to point fingers here, but how does the number get to 83? You'd think that by 20 somehow, you know, 20 kids, someone would have been able to pick up.
You know what happens is like a lot of kids are so embarrassed by what happens that they don't know who to tell. And they don't know whether it's just them, whether there are others. There are all kinds of reasons why kids don't go to the authorities mm-hmm. straight away. And I suppose maybe one or two of them, then they'll talk to each other and they realize that everybody's getting it done to them. So, you know, it almost puts peer pressure on that. You don't want to be the snitch. You don't want to be the one who, because then you could be attacked, you know?
I understand it from the victim's point of view, but how does it physically get done? You know, how do you sneak off?
I don't know. This guy was the patrol guard, right?
Yeah.
He probably had a hut or something. I don't know. It's just,
Man, it's a developing story, so we'll keep our eyes on this.
Okay, first, it's time for a little Eastranders, everybody.
All right. So here's a story about some beers, the local pool place, and a pee mat.
Yes. A very tolerant girlfriend.
A pee mat.
So anyway, the story goes, I met a friend of mine at the local bar for some beers on a Friday, as you would normally do with my girlfriend at the time.
Who's now his wife, yes.
Is
wife.
That her in the background?
Story.
And after 2 or 6 beers later, we decided that the vibe at the bar wasn't so great, so we decided to head off to the local pool place. Problem being is I just ordered some food. So the friend I was with said, no problem, he'll meet me at the local pool place after I've eaten my food. And he said, I must hurry up because he's got a present for me. So after we'd got our food and we had finished our food, we made our way to the local pool place. But this is the type of place where you don't wear slip-slops to, because when you walk in the door, the floor is so grungy, the slip-slops get stuck to the floor. You've got to make sure you wear proper shoes, or else you're going to catch some type of athlete's foot off the floor.
And you leave your girlfriend or wife at home.
Listen, yeah. This chick...
And
this chick interrupts his story the whole time. She's kind of annoying, I have to say. Just let him tell his story, all right?
As we arrived, I walked up to the bar, saw my friend having a beer, and he said, order a beer, you know, and then I'll give you your surprise. So I called to the barman, I ordered a beer, and the moment I looked back, we looked each other in the eye, and we had a moment, and out the corner of my eye, I saw he pulled out a used pee mat from a urinal that he had taken from the previous bar that we were at.
A bright green pee mat.
And with lightning quick reactions, I managed to somehow slap it out of his hand without touching it, and it flipped up in the air like it dramatically would, like if you flipped the coin, and landed directly on the bar. Now, neither of us were willing to touch the thing again, but we had a couple of beers, and the night got well late into the night, and by the time we left at 12, 1 o'clock, the PMAT was still on the bar.
It became a coaster.
Yeah, it became a coaster for the unsuspecting patrons of that poor pool place.
Anyway, what is this?
That's my story.
All right. This is the kind of stuff that happens on the East Rand. I mean, it's just unbelievable. A PMAT gets thrown up, gets left on the bar, and nobody seems to bat an eyelid. It just sits there the whole night.
It's disgusting, and no one moves it or touches it or anything. No. Well,
who would touch it?
Well, you see, ladies and gentlemen, this is why we do a little excursion at least once a week into the East Rand.
Safe excursion.
Yeah, it's really just to keep everybody up to date with what kind of madness is going on over there. All right. Anything else? Anybody want to throw anything else in this morning? And before I rush immediately to Mubs, who I know has some stuff.
Well, so Christopher Panayiotou,
which one is he again? He's the one of the
PE.
That's right. And, yeah. and the wife who he had murdered.
Well, his mistress, Chanel.
Huh? There's a miss.
Yes, there's a mistress, yeah.
Tell me more.
Chanel Coutts is expected to take to the stand in Christopher's defense this morning when the trial resumes in the Eastern Cape High Court in Port Elizabeth. Panayiotou and his co-accused are facing charges of conspiring, kidnapping, robbing, and killing Panayiotou's wife, Jade. Now, details of Panayiotou's affair with Chanel came to light when Chanel's best friend, Clarishka.
Chanel and Clarishka.
Yes. When Clarishka took to the stand for the state a year ago, you better believe that friendship has ended horribly. Klarushka told the court about the relations between Chanel and Christopher. Chanel had worked at the grocer where Christopher and his family ran the business. And Klarushka spoke about expensive gifts, including handbags and that kind of thing that Chanel received from Christopher. They would spend nights together at a local hotel. And Panayotti's defense began presenting their case when the last sitting began on September the 26th. So Chanel is going to be taking the stand today in Christopher's defense.
Ooh, you.
How, Chanel? Already people don't necessarily
I just love
like
that
you
name.
Because of who you
I
are.
I love the name Klarushka.
Mm.
Mm.
Holy shit. What a name.
I'm seeing heavy eyeshadow.
Oh, yeah. Big
hair
time. Clear heels.
Yeah. Ooh.
Mm. All right, here's something very important. Why did the Vegas shooting happen? Does anyone know?
Because you can get guns easily in that country, and he was probably depressed.
No. Nope.
And had nothing else to live for.
No. Nope. Oh. You don't know, Ben, but Pat Robertson knows.
Oh, no.
Oh, so why waste time all asking right. me?
Violence in the streets, ladies and gentlemen. Why is it happening? You know, what I'd like to give you is the fact that we have disrespect for authority. There is profound disrespect of our president all across this nation. They say terrible things about him. It's in the news. It's in other places. There's disrespect now for our national anthem, disrespect for our veterans, disrespect for the institutions of our government, disrespect for the court system. All the way up and down the line, disrespect. And when you lose that kind of respect, you lose this authority. But more than anything, until there is biblical authority, there has to be some controlling authority in our society. And there is none. And when there is no vision of God, the people say, there's no vision of God, the people run amok. When there's no vision of God, the people run amok. And that we have taken from the American people the vision of God, the whole idea of reward and punishment, an ultimate judge of all our actions. We've taken that away. And when there is no vision of God, the people run amok.
So that's what he says. That's how he said the shooting happened, because they disrespect the president and the national anthem.
Oh.
Pat Robertson continues to fill our days with amazing stories, right?
He's a pastor, no? Pastor or reverend?
He's
pastor
a Pat. Yeah, Pastor Pat. Pastor Pat Robertson. Is that great?
Pastor Pat.
Pastor Pat. Pat. Pastor Pat.
That is, oh, sorry. I said I was going to stop singing.
That's okay. Sorry. It's okay. Song and dance. That's used, yeah. So the Amphar Gala Dinner happened.
What's that?
It's basically, it's one of those charity things.
It's Elton John's foundation, yeah.
Yeah, so making AIDS history is their tagline, Gareth. Mm-hmm. James Corden was the host, and he made Harvey Weinstein jokes.
I heard it didn't go very well.
Didn't go well at all, but James Corden's funny, but these jokes weren't that funny. So he said, this is a beautiful room. It's a beautiful night in LA. So beautiful, Harvey Weinstein has already asked tonight up to his hotel room to give him a massage.
Okay.
Yeah, they're kind of clever, but it's not like a... I mean, you've got to have something better here, right? He then went on to make other Harvey Weinstein jokes. It's been a bit weird this week, though, watching Harvey Weinstein in hot water. Ask any of the women who watched him take a bath.
Mm.
Oh.
It's flat at best.
It's maybe a 3 out of 10.
Wait, there's one more, and this one I don't find funny at all. Harvey Weinstein wanted to come tonight, but sadly he'll settle for whatever potted plant is closest.
Mm-hmm. Come.
Yeah, yeah. I get what he's saying, but again, it's just...
Apparently the crowd did not enjoy it.
Yeah, they're just not funny. Like, people have made really offensive jokes before. I mean, Gareth played that thing from Seth MacFarlane. He talks about how these actresses now on the nomination list no longer have to find Harvey Weinstein attractive.
Mm.
Like, that's funny because it's like, it's cutting, but it's clever. These are just average.
Well, apparently late night host James Corden has apologized for the jokes he made about Harvey Weinstein, the disgraced producer, who's the target of a growing number of sexual harassment and abuse accusations. Corden told the jokes on Friday at that gala dinner Ben just told us about, and he took to Twitter on Sunday for a mea culpa. To be clear, sexual assault is no laughing matter. I was trying to make light of Harvey's inexcusable behavior, but to shame him, the abuser, not his victims, Corden wrote, I am truly sorry for anyone offended. That was not my intention. Weinstein, through a spokesperson, has unequivocally denied any allegations of non-consensual sex.
But, like, you know, you got to stick to your strengths. James Corden's strengths are not this.
No, like, carpool karaoke, yes.
That's your thing.
This kind of, I mean, like, maybe Jimmy Fallon could maybe get away with it, but even then, that's because he's a drunk. But, like, this is not Corden's thing, to go after current affairs and things that are quite edgy.
Well, you also know that we live in a world where people have to rush to apologize for everything they say, and comedians cannot say things that are funny anymore because someone somewhere is going to get their feelings hurt.
Exactly. Like if Chris Rock hosted something and he went Harvey Weinstein, it would be funny. Everyone would laugh. It would be expected. It would be great. And there'd be no apology. No.
But not. I agree with you. It shouldn't be James Corden.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
That's it. All right. We've got a discussion here with Sydney. Now, when did we record this? Sydney Matabula.
A few weeks ago, actually. Right.
So we've got that. And then a little – it's Politicians Week this week. We had an amazing discussion with Bantu Holomisa the other day. We'll be playing that out for you this week, among other things. But take a listen to this. Sydney Matabula is from a company called Five Star Sky. They're an innovative company that uses astronomy as a business model. Through the selling of astronomy education and presentations, as well as astronomy products. Now, I can remember as a kid, you're a little child, you look up to the sky, you get your inspiration from the stars, you think, wow, I wonder what happens out there, I wonder what's going on out there, I wonder what there is that I don't, that I can't see, that I don't understand. So astronomy is something I think that it speaks to all of us. It, and it was our ancestors' only way of figuring out things that they didn't have answers for. So they would look to the stars for those answers. How did your relationship with the stars start, Sydney? And welcome, by the way.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Garrett, for the invite to the show.
Sure.
Good morning to your listeners as well. For me, well, it started also from a very young age because I used to be fascinated going outside. And I remember growing up, we didn't have a TV when I was growing up. Only when I visited my grandmother, I actually see TV. But when I was with my parents, we didn't have a TV. So my way of entertaining myself and motivating myself was going outside and looking at the stars. And I always got fascinated all the time because I wondered what's beyond the stars and whatnot. And then also fall prey to a couple of myths. One of them will be that the sun dances in Christmas. So one will go outside on Christmas morning because they say it changes colors and whatnot. And you will look at the sun.
Which is not a good idea.
Which is not a good idea that I found out that later on. But because the love for astronomy was there, you know, I just would want to go there and just explore these things as much as I can. So yeah.
And those myths, I mean, for a lot of people, the idea that the moon has a personality, that there are certain star signs that astrologers will tell you, you know, these, if you're born under this sign, it means X, Y, and Z. Did you ever fall for any of that stuff?
Yeah, at one point I was just a consumer of anything that's astronomy, myth or no myth. Coming from Soweto, of course, information was very scarce, you know. Even on the local library, you would find astronomy books, but not a lot. And there wasn't somebody that you could actually go and ask real scientific questions to. So you would rely on the stories that you would hear from people or the star signs that you come with. Every day on newspaper, you'll find things on the star signs. But I think it's a good thing. It is astrology. It's a good thing that people can read up on it because it also makes people develop the love for astronomy as a whole. Because after those meets, then you...
But
you
usually, can, I mean, you meet any of these scientists and they'll say to you, oh, no, the astrologers are the worst people. And the astrologers will say, well, the astronomers are too scientific. They don't understand us.
Yeah.
So the two are at almost different poles.
They definitely are. But both of them, I think they have a purpose to serve. I think other people, they're not interested, not much into the science, but they much into the stories, the Roman stories and whatnot.
Now, I'm interested. You actually studied mostly business. So you did transport economics, you did business management, all of that stuff. So how did you manage to incorporate a love for astronomy into business?
Initially the plan was to go and study astronomy. I think when I was in grade when I was in grade 12, I got in a bursary to go and study astronomy. Then it was a matter of making the choice, do I want to be a scientist and just sit in an observatory or something and just analyze data? For me, that seemed a bit boring. But the passion for me for astronomy really stayed with me. I also needed to be realistic. Just said, I'm not strong as a scientist. I'm not an A student, but I am interested. I am strong as a business somebody. I'm strong as a project manager. How can I now take my skills, put them in line with what I'm passionate with, which was astronomy? So went to do a lot of business studies, just to understand business as a whole, but still remained relevant within the astronomy space, which is why I still have a good relationship with the Johannesburg Planetarium. I still run shows there with them on Saturdays and the time that I have available.
Now, how do you make money out of astronomy?
The most immediate thing, I think for us here in South Africa, we've got one of the most beautiful night sky because we're looking directly into the center of the Milky Way. Our night skies are not as polluted as maybe if you would go to America, or if they're not overcast, like if you would go to your England. We've got clear skies that we can really enjoy. And this business model started to model up for me when I went to visit my grandfather, who at the time was staying in Limpopo. When I got there, the night sky was beautiful. Me coming from Joburg, I know Joburg
there's less light.
There's less light there. So you see the Milky Way much better there. And going there, I was so taken away. And then at the same time, when I was there, I also saw the impact of poverty, unemployment, underdevelopment. But there they are. They've got this resource, which is a beautiful night sky. And me coming to Limpopo as a tourist, I'll definitely go there because the night sky is nice and beautiful there. Then the goal was to, how do you now take this asset that these people have, align them with tourism, and then doing that, be able to create jobs throughout that? Because a lot of people would really live a city life because they are lovers of astronomy, of stargazing. And there's a lot of guest house within the area where I was visiting, because they're not far away from Kruger National Park. So I felt in that place, I ended up doing a small research to just see how feasible something like this to happen in a rural area, and how is there interest. And I found that there is an interest because there's a lot of people that come to visit a place like that. And then their entertainment is there during the day. During at night, there's limited things that they can do, but there's this beautiful night sky. So what we did, we had a telescope. We went around different guest houses and just say, would you use this as a form of entertainment for your guests? So yeah, it's something different. We would actually love to do.
So do you sell the telescopes?
That's the second phase of this business to be actually one of the South African, owned telescope manufacturers, because most of the telescope we have here in the country is the one that we import. If right. not those ones, there's projects or there's clubs where people like we through the first Planetarium, we were able to be joined with a club that made us taught us how to do our own telescope. So we actually did our own telescope at some point.
How good are you, Sydney? I mean, if you look up at the sky, can you tell me which constellation I'm looking at? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I definitely can tell you the constellation that you're looking at, to as much as tell you what planets you can see. Because a lot of people, they go outside, they think they're actually looking at a bright star. Like, look at that bright star.
Meanwhile, it's Jupiter. So
beautiful. Meanwhile, it's Jupiter or it's Venus.
Tell me, because this is something that I've got on my phone. There's an app called Night Sky. Isn't it great?
Because
you could point that up at the sky and it actually overlays the whole thing.
Yes.
For you. It's tremendous.
Do you use these? Yeah, we use that. Sometimes other people, you show them and say that that's Venus. it takes a long time for them to digest that. That's actually, I'm looking at Venus. So this app just put things into perspective for you. And then someone can see, oh, that's actually Venus. Eh? And then you bring a telescope and then they look through a telescope and then they see Jupiter and then they see the stripes. That's the most selling point because a lot of people get blown away there. To how they can take something they've seen from a textbook for such a long time to now seeing it with their own eyes. It just makes them drawn more to the science, drawn more to the astronomy. And, you know, believe more what they really learning from school, that these things are really actually there.
Tell me, is there a specific star or a specific constellation that means a lot to you?
There is a star, which happens to be my nickname. There's a star called Pollux. I remember when I was in high school, I just loved the name, Pollux. And it's not in no way linked to my constellation, which is, my star sign, which is Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
Pollux is actually one, star sign. Is one star within the Gemini, star sign.
But and the I other just one like is Castor,
the
right?
The one is Castor, yes. Yeah. They were the twins. So I like the name. So it stick with me in high school. And in fact, a friend of mine who accompanied me today up until this day still calls me that name.
Pollux.
Yeah, Pollux.
So listen, just to let people know, you are one of the City Year South Africa's superstar site leaders. You served as service leader. You returned to take a position as site leader. You're 2012 Indica top 50 winner, Indie Africa. Young Entrepreneurs Program finalist in 2013. Lions Den Entrepreneur Pitch first prize winner in 2014 on the Lions Den. That's quite something. 2014 Activate Innovation Showcase winner. And in 2015, you got 702 and Sage One's Business Awards for a top five finish. I mean, this is an incredible story of someone who cares hugely about science. Do you think that there are enough kids who are taught this stuff at school? Do you think that there are enough kids who have this passion put into them at a young age?
Yeah. The main reason I did this project is because I feel that there isn't enough. And the reason that there isn't enough kids that are into this thing is because there isn't enough platform to expose them to such. Those who are interested, it's just somebody who goes outside and just look at the stars and just say, they're hardcore passionate. You know, other people need for you to kickstart their interest, because when you go and say, what are you looking at is actually Venus or the star side, then the interest builds up. Other kids, they start up with the interest, but there isn't the good support structure to build this interest into something that can maybe turn into a career one day or something that could turn into a business one day. You know, like for me, for myself, I think I sticked with it because I was just fascinated about it. Coming from Soweto, I couldn't go to my neighbor and say, "Ish, I'm looking at that star. Would you tell me what it is?" No one would know that, you know. Which is why when I was I think I was in grade 7, I called the Johannesburg Planetarium. There was a lovely name. There's a lovely lady named Dr. Claire Flanagan. She used to be a director there. I just called and said, "I'm interested in astronomy, and what are you going to do about it?" And then I tasked her, and then after doing that, she then started a sort of like a school club where on Saturdays we'd go there. She would teach us more about astronomy and teach us how to find the things. And to such an extent that we ended up building our own telescopes. We ended up visiting a couple of places of interest of astronomy in the country because of that. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of kids that actually can really be interested in this, but a lot of platforms need to be provided, or a lot of kids that have this interest, they need to be given the opportunity to be attached to someone who knows what it's about, so that they don't lose interest along the way.
Well, listen, all the best to you, and strength to your business.
Thanks, man.
I think you'll do a huge amount for science, you'll do a huge amount for astronomy, you'll do a huge amount for young people in this country, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Good to spend a bit of time with you.
Yeah, thank you very much for the invite.
Thank you. Sydney Matebula, everybody. Five Star Sky is what he is running. It's a project aimed to grow astronomy in South Africa, especially in black communities. And if he hadn't been inspired by that night sky all those years ago, he wouldn't have been able to inspire so many of us now. So good luck to you and your project. Thank you, Sydney.
Thank you very much.
Nice. Guy's running his own business that has foundations in science and astronomy, and he's trying to get other people interested in it. I think it's awesome. Hey, listen, how can customer centricity, that's an actual thing, drive disruption? Well, last week, Mpumi, That's Mpumihlapo from T-Systems. Spoke to the Vice President of Sales and Service Management there at T-Systems, Mike Butner. They found out all about this customer centricity. And you can find out, don't miss their inspiring chat on the 6 Habits of Customer Centricity, the podcast available on cliffcentral.com now. Yes. Time for the unnews. You ready for that?
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it. Thank you very much, Ben. By the way, Amanda, with East Randers, are these people you actually know, or are these people you just go up to in the street? Someone's asking.
This one was a random.
Okay. Just a totally random person. It's they're just hanging around in bars.
Yeah, just chilling.
Okay, just needed to check. Someone was asking about that. All right, let's get on with it. Here it is, the unnews for this morning. Lynn Brown is being fingered for some fresh corruption.
Oh, she's being what?
Fingered for fresh corruption. That's right. Brown's lover, Ingrid Tufvesson, is in the middle of the fingering as she seems to have been granted some Eskom tenders by Brown. Brown, however, says she is not a blessy lazy and that the tenders were all above board. Sean Abrahams has been sent the charges against Jacob Zuma. They're currently sitting on his desk awaiting his immediate action. Sean is currently stuck in traffic, though. He was last seen driving in northern Lesotho and is surrounded by donkeys, so he may not be able to get to them today. And finally, Maria Sharapova is back in the winner's circle. She won some event in China, but there was nobody of any worth playing it, so it doesn't really count. And that is all you need to know for today.
This is CliffCentral.com.